Today's shiur is Masechta Moed Katan, Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. There are two approaches in the Rishonim how to explain the Gemara we're about to begin to learn. There's Rashi and the Meiri's approach, and there's Tosfos and Ritva. First we'll explain it the way Rashi and the Meiri do. Amemah Shochalei Barberei. Amemah's grandson passed away, Karlovei, and Amemah tore Kriya over his Ptira. Says the Meiri, Amemah was present when his grandson passed away, and therefore tore Kriya at that time. Osabre, then Amemah's son came, Karba Ape. So Amemah tore Kriya again. The reason Amemah tore Kriya again, says the Meiri Rashi, is to show solidarity with his son. His son was in such a terrible tragedy that he lost his son. Amemah wanted to show that he's commiserating with him, so he tore Kriya again. But both of these Kriyas that he tore, Itka the Miyushav Kara, he recognized, he remembered that he had torn them sitting. And as we're going to learn, the halacha is Kriya has to be torn standing. So come Karma Umid, he went and tore, according to them, a third time the Kriya to do it properly in a standing position. According to Tosfos, what happened was, the Ritva, he tore Kriya when his grandson passed away. His son recognized, Amemah's son recognized that Amemah had not torn Kriya properly because Kriya should be torn standing, but he didn't want to tell him explicitly that he had made an error. So what he did was he tore Kriya standing, and that's how Amemah recognized that he made an error. He should have also torn the Kriya standing, and Amemah now corrected himself and tore standing. Amler of Ashla Amemah, Kriya the Ma'umid Menolan. From where do we know that Kriya has to be torn in a standing position? The Ksib, because the Pasuk says, V'yakam Eiv v'yikreves me'ilai. When Eiv's children had died, Eiv stood and tore Kriya. Ask the Gemara, Elamata, if so, the Pasuk says, by the parish of Chalitza, when the person does Chalitza, the Pasuk says what he should do is, V'omad v'omar, l'chafasta l'kachti, he should get up and say, I don't want to take this woman as a wife. Hochinami, will you say here too, the halacha requires that Chalitza be done in a standing position? V'tanya, but we learned in a braisa, ben yoshe, ben oimid, ben mata, Chalitza may be done whether the man is sitting, standing, or leaning. So we see that even though the Pasuk says, V'omad v'omar, it does not mean that it must be done standing. Amalei, so Amemah responds, Hasam loiksiv v'yamod v'yomer. The Pasuk doesn't say yet must get up and do the chalitza. V'omad v'omar, the Torah is telling us a story. Generally, he stood, but not that it's required. Hachoksiv by the kriya of an eiv, it says v'yakoyim v'yikra. He got up and tore his clothing, so we see that standing is a requirement. Amar Rav Mechama, Menayim L'Kriya Shema Umid. How do we know that Kriya has to be done standing? Shenem V'yakam Iyav V'ikra, Iyav got up, Kriya has to be done standing. Rishonim say that even though our Gemara is quite clear that Chalitza may be done in a sitting position, in the Seder Chalitza that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that L'chatchila Chalitza should be done standing. Ask the Gemara, yes, the Pasuk says by Eoi Vayokim Eoi Vayikra, he got up and tore Kriya. But who says that that's what's required? Dilma Milsi Yisertu David. Maybe Eoi did something extra, which is not required by Halacha. And says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that Eoi went past the letter of the law. Dilai Taimahachi, it says in the Pasuk, Vayogis is Roishai. And he tore out the hair of his head. Hachinami, would one want to suggest that tearing one's hair is required when he's an oval? Certainly it's not required. As Rishonim explained, we don't find anywhere that there is such a requirement. So we see that Eoiv did Milsa Yiserta, perhaps this that he stood for the kriya is also a milsi yaserta not to be learned from. So the Malbim asks, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says lo yikachu karcha b'roisham, that when one is an ovel, he's not allowed to rip here, not allowed to rip in his body. So how, asked the Malbim, was Eiv allowed to do this? So the Malbim wants to suggest that the Torah, when it says lo yikachu karcha b'roisham, is speaking specifically that one may not act this way, rachmon l'tzlon, when he's an ovel. Eiv did not rip his hair out of a velus. Eiv ripped his hair out of, he had a financial loss. But the Mefarshim are troubled with that pshat, because if we look in the Psukim clearly indicate that Eiv did this ripping, tearing, when he was an ovel on the loss of his children. And therefore some want to suggest, the Nezer HaKadosh wants to suggest, there's a difference if the karcha is, there's a shear, how much is considered la yikruchu karcha, and Eiv did less than the shear. Says the Gemara, so if so, where do we know that kriya must be done standing? El mehocha. V'yokam hamelech v'yikares begodav. David, when he lost, when David became aware that Avshalom had killed all of David HaMelech's children, even though it wasn't true, Avshalom only killed one of David HaMelech's children, only Amnon, but David had received the report that Avshalom had killed out all of David's children. So the pasuk says, "V'yakam HaMelech v'yikares v'godav." Ask the Gemara again, "V'dimah milsi yaseir to David." Perhaps David HaMelech did something extra. And the Gemara wants to prove that we see David HaMelech did extra things. It says in the pasuk that time David HaMelech laid on the ground. Hachinami, will we say that laying on the ground is required? Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Yoshen Gabamita, if an oval did not turn over his bed, as we're going to learn, the oval has to turn over his bed. If he did not turn over his bed, but he slept, Gabamita on a bed, Gabakisei, or chair, agave doini, is like a large block, mikula agave karka, or directly on the ground, la yotzi de chavosai, he has me mekayim the mitzvah. So we see that it can't be that he laid on the ground. Vamrab Yoichan, what mitzvah was he not mekayim? Shloikiyim kviyas hamita. He was mekayim the mitzvah kviyas hamita. So the way the Mefarshim explained, we have to understand this way. We have to say that David HaMelech certainly did Kfiyas Amita. But when the Pasuk says that he laid on the ground, it must be that he did something extra. So again, perhaps the standing was something extra. Unlike Kain Artsa. It doesn't mean that he actually slept on the floor. And as Mefarshim explained, because as we just learned, sleeping on the floor is not mitzvahs kfiyas hamita. Kfiyas hamita means to sleep on a bed that's turned over. So when David HaMelech slept, he didn't sleep on the floor. He did what the halacha requires. He slept on a turned over bed. So we have no indication that David HaMelech did anything extra. And if we have no indication David HaMelech did anything extra, when the pasuk says v'yakam HaMelech v'yikar v'spagadav, it means, as it seems, that one has to stand when tearing kriya. Asked Rishonim, if it means when the pasuk says artsa, it doesn't mean that he actually slept on the ground. It only means kein artsa. He slept on a turned over bed. So why doesn't the pasuk say what actually happened, that we have to reinterpret the pasuk? So I saw from Rishonim that a person like David HaMelech, the stature of David HaMelech, a king, to sleep on a turned over bed is as uncomfortable and as difficult as artsa, as sleeping on the ground. That's what the pasuk means to say. David HaMelech slept on the turned over bed, but for him sleeping on a turned over bed, it's artsa, it's like actually sleeping on the floor. Tana Rabbanan, Eilu Dvarim She'Avol Osim Behem, the following things that Avol may not do. Osim Melachi is not out of work, we'll discuss that more in Amid Beis. Rechitzi may not bathe. The halach is, he's not allowed to bathe his entire body in cold water, or his face, hands, and feet in warm water. Uvesicha, he's not allowed to anoint himself. Tasha Shemitah, he's not allowed to have relations. Uvenilas, a sandal, and he's not allowed to wear shoes. So Mefarshim Tosfos right away discuss that it seems that our Mishnah, the Abraisa, is omitting certain halachic requirements. The Abraisa doesn't mention that he has to do kfiyas hamita, vatifas yishmeilim, that he has to turn over his bed, like we just discussed, and he has to put on an atifa yishmeilim. So he says that the reason it's not mentioned, says Tosfos, because our Braisa is only mentioning things the Ovel may not do. The Braisa is not mentioning things that the Ovel must do. Similarly, the Braisa, says Tosfos, doesn't mention the halacha of tefillin, because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha of tefillin by an Ovel is not for the entire Shiva. And the same Sheila Shalom is not mentioned, because Sheila Shalom also has different statuses and different stages when it's mutter, when it's not mutter. Washing clothing, says Tosfos, is not mentioned because it's included in Rechitza. Says Tosfos, even though we just learned that an Ovel is required to do Kfiyas Hamita, turning over the bed, Tosfos says already in the time of Tosfos, in the time of the Rishonim, Kfiyas Hamita was no longer practiced. And there are two reasons given by the Rishonim. One reason is because Kfiyas Hamita, they were concerned that the Goyim would accuse them of doing Tishuv, of doing sorcery, when they saw the beds turned over. Another reason given is that the Kfiyas Hamita, the beds that we have, are different than the beds that they had. Only in their beds was there a requirement of Kfiyas Hamita, not in the type of beds that we have. So the Mefarshim explain why was Kfiyas Hamita required. One explanation given why Kfiyas Hamita is required is that an Ovel is supposed to be in the Tsar of his Avelis the entire period of the Shiva. So while he's up, he's certainly in the Tsar of Avelis. But when he goes to sleep, he doesn't feel the Avelis. Chazal wanted him to feel the Avelis all of the time. That's why they said he should do Kfiyas Hamita. Don't even sleep in the normal fashion, and like that you'll know that you're always in Avelis. But another reason given by the Yerushalmi is that, as we just learned, the requirement that during Shiva, Tashmish Shamita is Asur. So Chazal said, do Kfiyas Hamita, and that, since the bed is not set up in the normal fashion, that will serve as a reminder that Tashmish Shamita is Asur. Says the Chassam Sofer, nowadays we don't do Kfiyas Hamita, but there's a minig that all the mirrors in a home of an Ovel's house are covered. Says the Chassam Sofer that covering the mirrors serves the same purpose as Kfiyas Hamita. For without a mirror, it's difficult for women to adorn themselves and make themselves attractive to their husbands. So that accomplishes the same thing as Kfiyas Hamita. It prevents Tashmish Hamita. The Tosfos and Rishonim also say that we no longer practice Atifas Yishmaelim, putting on this headdress like the Yishmaelim, this kafiyah. And again, the Shadim explained, since that's certainly not the headgear that's ever worn nowadays, it would only be a tzchaik, it would only cause ridicule if one did Atifas Yishmaelim, and that's why we don't do Atifas Yishmaelim when one is an oval nowadays. Continues the Braisa, and what an oval may not do. For us, the Likris Matar ben Avim Ksuvim, he's now learned Tanakh. Ulishnois b'midrash, shnei zalat on Mishnah, b'medrash, halachas, b'ashas, b'agodis. He's not allowed to learn when he's an Ovel, from high rabbin tzrichim loy. However, if he's a person that people have to hear his lectures, ein nimna. He does not have to refrain from giving his lectures. And says, the b'raiso, maiso, meis, b'noish, Rabbi Yosef, b'tzipure, Rabbi Yosef's son passed away, v'nichnos l'beis ha-midrash, v'darsh kol yom kuloy, he went and continued giving his drasha. So Rashi explains that the reason an Ovel doesn't learn Torah is because Limna Torah is Simcha, and an Ovel with Kudei Hashem Yisharim v'sam chilev, and it's inappropriate that an Ovel who's Bitzar should learn. Ask the Ramban, I does a chiv to learn Torah every day? Says the Ramban, the Ovel's Mekayim mitzvahs Limna Torah with saying Krishma Shacharis v'Arvis. So there's a shaila that the Rishonim already discussed. What will be the halacha regarding the limudim that an Ovel learn that one may learn on Tisha B'Av. May a Ovel learn those limudim. Mesach Demayiv Katan Disparik Iyoyiv, etc. So Kinnis, so most Rishonim say that an Ovel may learn those same limudim that we may learn on Tisha B'Av. However, the Birka Yosef says, the Chidah, that even though we're saying that an Ovel may learn these limudim on while he's an Ovel, he has to learn them not bi'iyun. He's not supposed to sit down and say shiurim in them. He's not supposed to write chedushi Torah. He's allowed to learn them to mekayim mitzvahs limud Torah, but no more. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to disagree, and he says he's allowed to learn it in the regular fashion. However, the way the Paiskim seem to say is that the Ovel should not sit down to learn with the intent of writing chedushi Torah. But if he's learning, and in the course of his learning, a chiddush comes up, he's allowed to say it, and perhaps he's allowed to write it. Others are more machmer, because others explain that even though we spoke earlier in the Masechta, the Shaila, Machlokes Rashi and Ritva, if one of a Chol HaMoed, one may write Chiddush HaTorah, so the Mefarshim explained, the Paiskim explained that there's a concept of Dovar Ovid, which is Mutter Chol HaMoed. The concept of Dovar Ovid is not the same by Avelis, and therefore they're much more machmer regarding an Ovel writing Chiddush HaTorah during his Shiva. Regarding learning Musar, most Paiskim are lenient and say that he may learn Musar. Regarding saying Tehillim, that there are many people that say Tehillim every day, the Paiskim seem to be machmer and do not allow an Ovel to say Tehillim. Certainly, the Paiskim also draw a distinction between the first day of Avelis and the rest of the Avelis, which, as we've discussed, perhaps the first day of Avelis is a Chiv Deraisa. That's why they're more machmer. There's a very interesting Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi speaks about in a tshuva where there was a person that used to always learn Mishnayis Balpeh. Always, wherever he went, he learned Mishnayis, and he remembered the Mishnayis. He was Mekayim Magisa Bayoyim V'Layla. And the concern was that if he will not be allowed to learn these Mishnayis during these 7 days of Avelis, he'll forget them. So Chacham Tzvi was Mekel and allowed him to learn Mishnayis during that week. Along the same lines, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes to Yerushalmi that if someone is so into his learning that if he will not be allowed to learn for a week, he will not be able to survive. It's like it'll be like a choler that doesn't have his medicine. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, such a person may learn. And in fact, the Ragged Shover, that is said, did learn also when he was an Ovel. He said that he could not survive. He would be too much of a mitztayer, and he was allowed to learn during his shiva. In fact, along the same line, I saw the Paiskim ask interesting shaila. Let's say someone made a neder that every day he's going to learn. Let's say he made a neder that every day he's going to learn the Daf Yomi. So the neder is certainly a valid neder, and he has to learn every day. But now he's an Ovel, and as we've learned, an Ovel is not allowed to learn. So the Paiskim say, certainly if in his neder he did not specify what he will learn every day, he just said he made a neder he's going to learn an hour a day. So he should learn what an Ovel is allowed to learn. However, what if he made a neder, as we discussed, they're specifically going to learn that day's daf, and they're learning Masechta Bava Kamma, which is not the items that an Ovel may learn. May he learn it or not? So I saw, this is a shaila that I'm not paskening, I'm just saying what I saw. I saw some Paiskim want to suggest that the Yerushalmi says that on Tisha B'Av, we're not limited to learn the various Lamudim that were identified earlier. Anything that a person is not familiar with, and therefore the learning is not so geschmack, he may learn during on Tisha B'Av. Similarly, if someone is learning a Masechta that he's not that familiar with, so he has the Harva, and perhaps that may be learned if he made a neder even during the Shiva. There's an interesting Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim says that Esav said, Yikramu Yivei Kliyokar. The Yikramu Yimei Oval Ovi, Vahagas Yaakov Ochi. When my father passes away, that's when I'll kill Yaakov. Says the Kli Yaakov, why was Esav waiting until Yitzchak would die? He says because he knew that Yaakov was always sitting and learning Torah, and the Torah was a shmira over him. But while he's an Ovel, as we just finished learning in our Gemara, an Ovel may not learn Torah. Therefore, he won't have the shmira of Torah, and that's why Esav said, "Yikmu, you may Ovi, my father will pass away, and Yaakov will be an Ovel. He won't have the shmira of Torah for Harga." As Yaakov Ochi, and then I'll be able to kill him. And in fact, that's what the Kli Yaakov says. The halach is that an Ovel tzarech shmira. An Ovel is one of the people that requires a shmira. Why does an Ovel require shmira? Because he's not allowed to learn Torah, and Torah is the biggest shmira that we have over us. Ask the Beis Yisrael if we just finish explaining that an Ovel is allowed to learn. He's just not allowed to learn what he normally learns. So Yaakov Avinu could have learned Masechet Maid Katan, and he would have the Shmira. Says the Beis Yisrael, yes, Yaakov Avinu was allowed to learn what one may learn in Tisha B'Av, but the learning wouldn't be a learning of Simcha. What type of learning has the ability to be Megan, to protect a person? A Limud with the Simcha. This limud wouldn't be a limud of simcha, and it wouldn't be able to protect him to that degree, and that's why Esav felt more confident. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Babachana Isra Milsa. Rabbi Babachana became an Ovel. Sovid Elayla Mekla Perka, so he thought he's not allowed to go say the shir. Omler Chanina, Imhai Rabbim Tzrichaloi, if he's a person that the public needs, Ena Nimna. He doesn't have to refrain. And that's the halacha. Now let's say someone's a Rav, and he's Rachman al Tzlan, sitting Shiva. The halach is that he may, if someone needs a Shaila answered, he may be approached to answer the Shaila. Sava, Lamokim Amarale. So he felt that he could also take a person that, as we know, they used to have a Meturgaman stand next to them when they said a Shir. So he thought that he could do that too. Omle Rav. So Rav said, Tanya, we learned the Brah, said that's prohibited. Because Avad Shalyama Targuman. He's not allowed to have a Targuman stand next to him, because that's already too much covet, and an Oval is not entitled to that level of covet. Elahechi Ovid. So what should an Oval who has to say is Shia Barabim do? Kyara Tanya. Maiso Mes Benoy Shabi Huda Baraloi, Vinichnas Beis HaMedrash, and he came into the Beis HaMedrash, Vinichnas Reb Chananya ben Kavya V'yosh B'tzidoy. Chananya ben Kavya sat next to him, Loch HaShul Reb Chananya ben Kavya, so he whispered the shit to Reb Chananya ben Kavya. Reb Chananya ben Kavya said it to the Torgamin, and the Torgamin, Shmuel Rabim, said it to the public. I saw an interesting Shaila along the same lines. We know that Rechman Otzlan, if one is an Oval, on Shabbos, he's Noig Avelis Betzina, meaning that he doesn't do Avelis Barabim, he doesn't sit Shiva, but he has to do Avelis Betzina. One of the examples is he's not allowed to learn. In fact, the halach is that when one is doing the Shiva on Shabbos, he's not allowed to get an Aliyah. So the Shaila that was asked to the Rav Greenwald, who wrote the Sefer Kolbay al Avelis, the Rav of Dayton of Columbus, Ohio, the Shaila that he was asked was, let's say there's a Rav who says a shir every Shabbos afternoon, and now this Shabbos is the middle of the Shiva. Is he allowed to say the shir or not? So he says that he's certainly allowed to say the shir. He says because if he will not say the shir, it will be a situation of avelis berabim, avelis beferesia. Everybody will realize that he's not saying the shir because it's during the Shiva. Avelis beferesia is also on Shabbos, and he should definitely say the shir. Tan Rabbanan. Avol shloish yomer rishonim. Avol the first 3 days of his avelis. Also laniach tefillin. He's not allowed to wear tefillin because tefillin, the rishonim explain, are considered a pe'er, a crown. A person who's an avol doesn't deserve to wear a crown. Or more, the tefillin brings simcha, represents simcha, and the avol is certainly not in the status of simcha. Mishlish ve'elach from the 3rd day and on. The Shlishi Bechlal, and the 3rd day included, Mutal Aniach Tefillin, he is allowed to wear Tefillin. Vim Boch Hapan Chadashas. Furthermore, if people who were not there previously came while he's wearing the Tefillin, and a Chaylitz, he doesn't have to remove the Tefillin. We do not have to be concerned that the people that come will not realize that he's past the 2nd day of his Avelis, and to think that he's allowed to wear tefillin, and to think that he's wearing tefillin even the early days, we don't have to be worried about that. Or another concern, the Rishonim say, we don't have to be concerned that the people will think that an Avos will allowed to wear tefillin all 7 days of the Avelis. Divrei Rebbe Elazar. This is Rebbe Elazar's position. Rishonimer, Avos Yishnei Yomim Rishonim Asul Neif Tefillin. The first 2 days are not allowed to wear tefillin. That means on the second day he's already allowed to wear tefillin. But he holds that if someone comes, he has to remove the tefillin. Amar Masma, my Talmud Rebbe Elazar that says that for the first 2 days tefillin may not be worn. So it says you may plural. The minimum of plural is two. That means for 2 days there has to be bechi, and during that time tefillin may not be worn. Amar Eina. My time to be sure that says tefillin may not be worn only one day. So it's like one day. There's one bitter day. Tefillin should only not be worn one day. Ask the Gemara for Rabbi Yeshua Nami Oksiv Yitam Yumei Lashon Rabim, which would indicate that at least 2 days tefillin may not be worn. Amalach. So answers Rabbi Yeshua. That pasuk is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shana Moshe the Tuk of Avli. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, there was a much higher level of Avelis, and that's why they weren't allowed to wear tefillin for 2 days. They had Avelis for 2 days. Normally, the Avelis is only one day. Rebbe Elazar nam yotziv achrisa ki yoymar, says the Gemara, ikka marir chajoymar. Rebbe Elazar agrees that the main bitterness is one day, but still, the second day is certainly a higher level of tzar, and tefillin should not be worn. Ula says Ula, Halach Rebbe Elazar b'chalitza. We agree with Rebbe Elazar regarding the din that tefillin do not have to be removed by parim chadashes. Halach Rebbe Shua b'anoch, and we hold like Rebbe Shua that in the second day tefillin may be put on. Ibayluhu. So they asked b'sheni l'ula. Not that Ula says that on the second day tefillin are put on, because he holds like Rebbe Shua. But if we hold like Rabbi Shua, what's going to be the halacha? Rabbi Shua also holds that chaylitz, that tefillin have to be removed when the panim chadashos come in. Chaylitz or ain't a chaylitz? Does he remove the tefillin every time a new person comes in or not? Tashma, amu'ula chaylitz u'maniach afil me'e pamim. He has to take off the tefillin on that day every time a new person comes in. Tanya nami hachi, yud ben teim oimer, chaylitz u'maniach afil me'e pamim. He has to take off the tefillin every time somebody new comes in. And as the Karen Oyer explains this brisa, but the brisa is speaking about the second day of the Avelis, and the brisa is telling us that on the second day of Avelis, tefillin should be worn, but taken off every time a Panim Chadoshes comes in. Ask the Sfasemis, if so, why does the Gemara say that Ula Paskins like Rebbe Elazar and like Rebbe Yeshua? He's completely like Rebbe Yeshua. The second day he wears tefillin but takes them off, and afterwards he doesn't. Why? What shot that he holds like Rebbe Elazar? Says it's Fas Emes. According to Rebbe Yeshua, the loch of chaylitz that Avil has to take off tefillin every time a panim chadoshes comes in is not only on the second day. It's every day of the Avelis. Rebbe Yeshua holds that's the requirement of the Avil. And now the Gemara is telling us, Ula is telling us, that I don't completely agree with Rabbi Shua. Only on the second day does he hold the chaylitz, not on the other days. La locha, we pass in the tefillin are not worn on the first day, but after the first day tefillin are worn. As far as if the mace was not buried until, not on the first day that he passed away. So certainly, until the mace is buried, or until the Avelim take leave of the Nifter, they don't wear tefillin because they're oinonim, and an oinon is part of an amitzvus. But after, if it's past the first day, and one is no longer an oinon, most paiskim hold that tefillin are not worn on the Yom Kfura either, only beginning wear tefillin after Yom Kfura. There are paiskim that say that on the Yom Kfura, specifically, if it took place quite a few days after the Ptira, tefillin may be worn, but they should be put on without a bracha. There's also a shaila. If one wears tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, does he wear them during the Shiva? The Be'er Hetiv quotes the Arizal that says that tefillin are not Tefillin Derbeinu Tam are not worn during the Shiva. There are Paiskim that say that if one wears Tefillin Derbeinu Tam all year round, he can wear them during the Shiva too. Rav Amar, Kivin Shaniach, Shivei Nechayutz. Once it's the second day of the Shiva, somebody puts on the Tefillin, he doesn't have to take off the Tefillin even when Panim Chadashas come in. Ask the Gemara, Rav is the one that says the halacha is like the Tana of the Mishnah we learned earlier in this parak, that the first 3 days are the Ikat Tsar. So therefore Rav should say that only on the third day tefillin may be worn. Says the Gemara Mitzvah Shani, even though Rav holds that the Ikar Avelus is the first 3 days, he agrees that for Dvar Mitzvah of putting on tefillin, tefillin should be put on already on the second day. Tana Rabbanan. Aval shloisha yom rishonim, on aval the first 3 days of avelus, also b'malacha, is not to do any malacha. A filo oni hamispanis min tzedaka, even a very poor person who lives off tzedaka, may not do malacha during the first 3 days. Mikan ve'elech, after the first 3 days, oisib et sinib et taich beisoi, he could do malacha discreetly at home. V'yisha tova ve'pelech et taich beisoi, a woman could sew on a spindle at home during the rest of the Shiva. So the way most Rishonim explain, what the Gemara is teaching us is that this woman, who's nevach and oval, but is also poor and has to work, so what she should do is try to do work discreetly. And the Brisa gives us an example of what is such a circumstance, sewing at a, with a spindle at home. I saw an interesting Ritva. The Ritva says, what will be the halacha if one is and if one is not an oni, that's mispanis min tzedaka. But if he will not work during the Shiva, he will become such an oni that will have to take from charity. May he work during the Shiva or not? And he says that he may, they say that he may not work during the Shiva. So it's the Ritva. Tana Rabbanan, Oval Shlosh Yom Rishonim, Oval during the first 3 days of the Avelis, Eino Hoylech Lebeis Oval. He's not allowed to go to another Oval's home. After it's heilich, he may go. However, he doesn't sit together with the people who are coming to the Menachem Oval. He sits together with the Avel. And there's a very interesting discussion by Rebbe Yoshev regarding what does the Oval do when he goes to another Oval's home. And there are a number of halach lemaisa applications based on this. Rebbe Yoshev discusses if the Ovel does say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem to the Avelim or he doesn't. Perhaps the fact that he's sitting together with the other Avelim prevents him from saying Hamokim Yenachem Eschem. So he says that it's not clear in the Gemara, it's not clear in the Rishonim. Perhaps he should say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem, and he says that he should say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem, and therefore Rabbi Yoshev says that if Lachmanu Litzlan, there are a group of people sitting Shiva together, and at night they separate to go home to sleep, when they take leave of each other, they should say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem to each other, just like this Ovel, who comes to sit Shiva together with the other people, says Hamokim Yenachem Eschem when he goes home. Another Halach Lemaisa, he says this, especially if we hold that the Oval does not say Hamokim Menachem Eschem to the other Avelim, he just sits there together with the other Avelim. So he says, from here we see that there are two parts to Nichum Avelim. One part of Nichum Avelim is to say Hamokim Menachem Eschem, but another part of the Nichum Avelim is actually just to sit and show solidarity to the people who are Nebuch sitting Shiva, that we're together with them, and we feel for them, and we want to show them support. Therefore, says Rebbe Yoshev, and actually I saw Tshuva for a Moshe to the same point, that even though Nichum Avelim can be done over the phone, it's certainly preferable for one to physically go and be Menachem Oval and show that he's feeling with the people who are sitting Shiva, not just say Nichum Avelim over the phone. Tanabon, Oval Sholosh Shalom Merishonim, Oval during the first 3 days of his Avelis, also Vishalosh Shalom. He's not allowed to greet other people. Mishloish Shabbat Shiva, after the first 3 days, May Shiva Ein Shoyl, he responds, but he doesn't greet. Bikam Ve'elach, Shoyl Umeshiv Kedarkoi. He's allowed to greet and respond in his normal fashion. So Mepharshim asks, The Rishash asks, why does the Brice have to say that after the Shiva, he's Shoyal or Meshav Kedarkai? If he's Shoyal, if he's allowed to greet, Meshav, he's certainly allowed to respond. As we know, in the earlier time, he's allowed to respond, even though he's not allowed to greet. Here, he's certainly allowed to respond. And also, what does Kedarkai mean? Says the Rishash, the Shulchan Aruch says that the halacha is that if one greets someone else, the person has to respond, but not just respond, he has to respond more than was said to him, to show extra warmth. So during the third day to the seventh day that he responds, he only responds as much as was said to him. But after the 7 days, not only is he allowed to respond, but he's allowed to respond kedarkoi. Kedarkoi meaning being, giving a warmer response than the greeting given to him. There's a shaila by the Chochmas Odom. When the Braisa here says Mishloi Shiva Shiva, what's going to be the status of the third day? Do we say Mixes Ayom Kekuloi or not? Shloi Shiyom Rishonim. Also B'Shel Shalom. So we learned in the Braisa that for the first 3 days, he's not allowed to greet someone else. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, Maisu Meisu Bonosh Rabbi Kiva, the children of Rabbi Kiva passed away. Nichnasu Kol Yisrael V'Spidum Hesped Godel. The old Kol Yisrael came and said a Hesped. B'Shasped Terosam, as everybody was taking leave from Rabbi Kiva, Omer Rabbi Kiva Sasul Golvomen, Rabbi Kiva stood up on a large bench and said, Achenu Beis Yisrael Shemu, my brothers Klal Yisrael here. Afilu Shnei Banim Chassanim, Menuchim Hu B'Shul Kvod Shem Sisim. Even if the two people who had died were married sons, I would be consoled over what you did. Certainly, explained Rishonim, when the two sons were not married, while the Rishonim say maybe only one son was married, Vimishvil Kiva Basem, if you had come because of Kiva, Hare Kama Kiva Bishuk, there are many Akivas in the marketplace. Elakach Amartim, what was your reason for coming? Because you said, Tyrus Elakar Beliboy, you came because I'm a person who learns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Taiva. Therefore, for Koshkein, Shescharchem Kofel, therefore you should have a double reward, L'chu L'beischem L'sholem. So we see that Rabbi Kiva, right after the Levaya, greeted the people. Says the Gemara, Kvoid Rabim Shani. So sort of Shema Shmuel explains what Rabbi Kiva said to them. What Rabbi Kiva said to them was that we know that a person comes to this world, the goal of a person being in this world is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. When there was such a large Levaya for the sons of Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva was this great Talmud Chacham, there was a gewaldige Kiddush Hashem, that the world should see the respect that's given to Torah. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva's children were the cause for this gewaldige Kiddush Hashem. So he said, that's my nechama, that my children had a tachlis in the world, they caused the Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. Another pshat I saw is that the Pasuk says, the entire Pasuk that Rabbi Kiva says, the reads, Tyrus Alakov Beliboy, Loisimad Ashurav. The Simad Ashurav means that his work will not fall. Explain the Mefarshim. When a father loses a child, he thinks that it's his fault. He must have done something wrong, that because of that his children passed away. Says the Pasuk, Tyrus Alakov Beliboy. Rabbi Kiva was saying, you're showing to me that I learned Torah, and I learned Torah and I was taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, and like Simon Ashurav, it wasn't my fault that the children passed away. That is the biggest nechama that you could give me. Continues the Braisa. Mishloish v'shiva, meshiv ein shoyl. From the third to the seventh day, he responds but doesn't greet. Mikan ve'el shoyl meshiv kedarka. Afterwards, he can respond, greet and respond in a normal way. For Minu, ask the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, hametzes chavera ovel, if somebody finds his friend who's an ovel, betal shloish m'yoyim, during the first 30 days, medaber imay techumim, he should console him. Vein shoyl b'shloimei, and he shouldn't greet him. Lach shloishim yom, after the shloishim, shoyl b'shloimei, he greets him. Vein medaber imay techumim, but he doesn't console him. Meisa ishtoi, if a person's wife passed away, v'nosa isha acheres, and he married another wife, even though it's during the shloishim, and Taisa says, how could someone marry another wife during the shloishim? Says Tosfos that either the person had small children, so he needs a wife to care for the children, or says Tosfos that the person was not mekayim yet mitzvahs per rivya, and he needs to get married that he should be able to mekayim that mitzvah. So once the person is remarried, one should not enter his home to console him, because that would be an affront to his new wife. Matz b'shuk, only if he finds him in the street, oimeloi b'safa rafa b'kovid rosh, he greets him with speaking quietly and seriously. But here we see that even after the shiva, one should not greet a avil. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Edi Bar Oven, Hu shal b'shloim acherim, shacherim shurim b'sholem. He's allowed to greet others because other people are not in a tsar. Acherim ain't shal b'shloimoy, shurim shur b'sholem. They're not allowed to greet him because he's an oval. Ask the Gemara of Ketanim Yeshiv, who we see that he's allowed to respond, b'klad shalinale, that he is being greeted. He's responding to a greeting. Answers the Gemara, d'lo yodi. These people are not aware that he's an oval, so they greet him, and the halach is if he was greeted at the first 3 days, he responds. Ask the Gemara, Yehocha Hosam Nami, so even the first 3 days, he should be allowed to respond if he's greeted by people who don't know the halacha. Answers the Gemara, Hosam Maidilhu Velay Maidilhu. During the first 3 days, if someone greets an oval, the oval should respond, I'm an oval, I'm not allowed to respond to you. Hocha, after the first 3 days, Leitzarch Ledinu, he shouldn't greet someone, but if someone unknowingly greets him, he may respond. The Ramah already quotes that perhaps the She'el Shalom that's referred to in Halacha is not the, in this Gemara is not the same She'el Shalom as we have nowadays, and therefore under certain circumstances we could be more makel. The Gemara discussed here about once one is remarried, he's not allowed to receive tanchumim in the presence of his new wife because that's an affront to her. So the Chasam Sofer has a shaila. We learned that if someone has to be bavelis, and someone who one has to be an avelis, if they likud atzomais, if they collect the bones that day, he has to be bavelis. Ask the Chasam Sofer, what would be the halacha if one got remarried and they did likud atzomus on one's first husband or first wife, would they have to be an avelis? And the Chasam Sofer says, based on this Gemara, that certainly not. Similarly, I saw a tshuva that from Rav Greenwald, that let's say someone's wife passed away and he got remarried and they were making a hakamas metseva for his first wife, and he wanted to put down a metseva, one large stone, that there would be room for him and his former wife. And he discussed that's probably inappropriate, because it's based on our Gemara, it would certainly hurt his new wife. The Suri de Eish also has a tshuva, if one is allowed to say, learn Mishnayis, or say Kaddish for his first wife that passed away after he married his second wife. The Suri de Eish seems to be makel and says that given that this is done in shul, not in front of the new wife, one could be a little more lenient. The Tzitz Eliezer is not as lenient in the shaila as the Suri de Eish, and he says that it probably would be better to hire someone to say the Kaddish versus saying the Kaddish in front when one is already married to a new wife. The Gemara said that once Shloshim passes, the Ovel can greet everybody else. For many, he asked the Gemara, "Moitzes chaver Ovel, one meets his chaver who's an Ovel, but tachshdei samay chaydish during the first 12 months, bedabri moitin chumen. He should speak to him consoling, shoyl b'shoyl ve'enoy, but he does not greet him. Lachish neimasa chaydish after 12 months, shoyl b'shloimer, he can greet him. Ve'enoy bedabri moitin chumen, but shouldn't say consoling to him." He could speak to him indirectly about his loss. If one meets his friend who is an oval after 12 months, and speaks to him to console him, somebody's leg broke and it was healed, Matzraf v'amalai. So the doctor meets him and it tells him, Kalach etzli, come to me, shani shaivra, I'll break your leg again, for a pe'ena, and I'll heal it today, shetei the samman shali yofim. How good my medicine is. Here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the Bria that after a year people begin to forget. If one continues to console, it's counterproductive. So here we see it's a year, not 30 days. And so the Gemara lo kasha. Habav v'imai, by a parent, the time not to greet is for a year. Habashak krivim, by other relatives. And again, as I said before, the reason we are a little more makel in greeting aveilim, even after a year, is because our Sheila Shalom, after 30 days, even when one is an avil on a parent, because our Sheila Shalom is not the Sheila Shalom that the Gemara refers to. Ask the Gemara, Hasam nam yidabi imaitim chum betzad. Then the case that lost other relatives let his friend at least console him indirectly even after 30 days. Says Gemara enochanami. Umay enam yidabi imaitim chum. What does it mean that he's not allowed to speak to him words of condolence after shloishim kedarkoi? He's not allowed to speak to him in the normal fashion. Avo medabi minatzad, indirectly after the shloishim, one can still say words of condolence.